It's Numbers chapter 14 this morning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, fourth book of your Bible. Numbers chapter 14, if you would please. Numbers chapter 14. If you came this morning anticipating a message from the book of Galatians, I apologize. Our sign out front and myself got our lines of communication crossed. And Lord willing, we'll be back in the book of Galatians next Sunday. But all week long, I think it's been advertising, you know, learn Galatians, come this Sunday. So if you know, if you saw that sign, that's why you're here this morning. I apologize, all right? And we'll be back there next Sunday, Lord willing. So, you know, if you want to learn Galatians, come back next Sunday, amen? But this morning, we want to look in Numbers chapter 14. And as we look in Numbers chapter 14, on this first Sunday of the new year, I'd like to bring a message and just prayerfully encourage our church, our entire church body here this morning about being a faith-filled church as we move into this new year of 2015. Just being a faith-filled church. Faith-filled church. Looking to God, trusting Him, believing that He can. Faith-filled. God wants His people to be faith-filled, not faithless, but faith-filled. If you've got your Bibles open and you're physically able to stand, let's stand together for our scripture reading. I'm going to begin in verse 1, read down through verse 10. You follow in your Bibles and then we'll pray and let you be seated. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land, and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Well, Father, we come before You this morning, and we pray that as we enter into this new year, Lord, that we could certainly be a church that is full of faith, be a faith-filled church. Lord, I pray that we would not be like those that bade stone Joshua and Caleb, the men of faith, with stones. But Father, we would be people who believe You. I pray that You'd help us. We seek to communicate this great truth to our church body here this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive, and that, Father, we would be people who would take it as truly the Word of God is, the Word of God, not the Word of man, allowing it to work in our hearts and lives, believing it and accepting it as from You, and we'll praise You and give You the glory and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you ever go through and read the book of Numbers and do a little study of the book of Numbers, you'll realize that many things that happened to the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, what we often refer to as their wilderness wanderings, if you would please, many of the things that occurred in their lives have some type of correlating or corresponding relationship to our lives even today as we journey through this world on our way home to be with the Lord in heaven. For example, this morning we come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was a place of decision. a place where the children of Israel could go forward in faith, relying and believing God to give them the victory, or they could flounder in unbelief. And we won't really see the end result of it this morning, but we'll see that they really floundered in unbelief. And as a result, for 40 years, they'll wander around in the wilderness till that generation that was not willing to believe God died off. The lesson that we're going to look at here this morning is the important lesson of when you come to a place of decision, of having faith in God. And throughout 2015, there are going to be times when we as a church are going to come to some points of decisions. We're going to come to some Kadesh Barneas, if you would please. And I just want to encourage and challenge the church at the very beginning of the year that when those times come our way, I don't know exactly when, but when those times come our way, that we're going to be a church that's going to be full of faith. And although we may not see our way through, faith doesn't have to see its way through. Faith doesn't look at the circumstances. Faith looks at God. We'll be people who will trust our God. So that's where we're headed this morning in this message. And trust the Lord will speak to our hearts about being a church full of faith. A church full of faith. You know, if you stop and think about the issue of faith, that's what the Christian life is all about. It's about faith. That's how the Christian life begins. That's how the Christian life is lived. And that's how the Christian life is to end. It begins with faith. It is lived out by faith. And it is to end in God's people embracing faith in their God. Faith is an important issue to every Christian. If you have your bulletin up on the top of the bulletin today, we put purposely Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 as our verse for the day, where the Bible says, but without, what's it say, church? Faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. The Him is God. If we don't have faith, we can't please God. I don't care how you try to do it in order to gain favor with God or to make God happy or to please God. The simple truth is it takes faith to believe to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's faith. That's the issue of faith. You see, faith is believing God. Faith is coming to rely upon God's Word. Faith is taking God at His Word. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would please, to the book of Romans. Hold your place in Numbers. We'll come back there. But go with me to Romans chapter 4, where God in His Word really gives us a beautiful definition of this issue of faith and what faith is all about. Abraham was a man of faith, was he not? He's the father of faith. And here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 4, page 1196, in Romans chapter 4, it speaks about Abraham and the faith that Abraham had. Notice, if you would please, it speaks of him. In verse 19, the Bible says this, and being not weak in, what's the word? Faith. Abraham was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body dead when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. If you remember the story, Abraham's 100 years of age. God says, you're going to have a son. He tells Abraham that. Sarah laughs. She's 90 years of age. But Abraham believed God. He was not weak in faith, if you would please. Verse 20. Look what verse 20 says. This is the essence of faith. He staggered not at the what? Promise of God through unbelief. But the Bible says he was strong in what? Faith. That's what I'm seeking to encourage us as a church this morning. Throughout this year, we want to be strong in faith. Abraham was strong in faith. Notice what it goes on to say. Giving glory to God. And here's faith. Being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to do what? To perform. That's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His Word. Faith is believing that God's going to keep His promises, that He's going to fulfill His Word. So when we think about the Christian life and we say the Christian life begins with faith, it begins with taking God at His Word concerning ourselves, that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It comes to taking God's word and what he says about sin and how that sin deserves to be punished. The punishment for sin is death, and how our sin separates us from God. You see, the Christian life begins with faith. We've got to take God at his word about these things. Notice in Romans chapter 5, we're very close. So Romans chapter 5, look in verse 12. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world," that's speaking about Adam, and the Bible says, "and death by what?"
Sin.
You see, the punishment for sin has always been death. And so when Adam sinned against God, death entered into the world. Notice the verse goes on to say, "And death passed upon how many of us?"
All
of us. All men. And why did death pass upon all men? Well, the Bible says, because for all have what? Sinned. So this issue of faith, you know, how do we get into the family of God? How does the Christian faith, the Christian life begin? It begins by faith, coming into the family of God by faith, taking God at his word in what it says about us. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Our sin must be punished. The punishment for sin is death. Sin separates us from a holy God. We've got to believe God about what he says about that, that we can't do anything to resolve that situation, that we cannot do anything that is going to bring about a settlement of that penalty of death. Now, that's contrary to what most people believe in our world today. Most people believe that if they go to church, live a good life, do some good deeds, that they ought to make it into heaven. But God says there's nothing that we can do that can solve this issue of the penalty of our sin, which is death. So God says, listen to me carefully, God says our works, our good deeds, have absolutely nothing to do with us getting to heaven. Now, we've got to have the faith to believe that. We have to take God at his word. Romans chapter 4, look what it says. Romans chapter 4, in verse 5. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh what?
Not."
See what God says there? "But to him that worketh what?
Not,
but by contrast, believes on him," on Christ, "who justifies the ungodly," the Bible says his what? Faith is counted for what?
Righteousness.
It's not our works in the sight of a holy God that credits us with his righteousness, that gains us favor with God or entrance into heaven. You see, in order to be a Christian, we have to be a person of faith. We have to be a person who's willing to take what God says in his word about, first of all, about us. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Our sin deserves to be punished, and the punishment for sin is death, which is eternal separation from God for all of eternity. That's what we deserve. Do you believe that? Are you a person of faith? Then you have to understand, well, how did God resolve that problem? That's a massive problem, is it not? How did God resolve it? Well, God says, first of all, it's not resolved through your works. It's not resolved through what you do. He says it's resolved through what my son did for you. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. "But God commendeth his love." Verse 8. Romans chapter 5. I guess it helps to give you a verse, doesn't it? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Look in your Bibles. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners," what's the last four words? Very good. Let's do it one more time. Christ
died for us.
That's the answer. That's the solution to our sin problem. What Christ did for us on the cross. You say, how do you know that's the solution? Look at verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by his," what?
Blood.
"We shall be saved from wrath." Through who?
Him.
Through him. So what's God doing? He's pointing us to the cross. He's pointing us to Christ and saying, what my son did for you is the solution, the answer to the problem of your sin. Do you believe that?
Amen.
See, the Christian life begins with faith. You have to be persuaded that what God says, he's going to what? And that's the way it is. This is what God says. This is the way it is. God said it. I believe it. It's a settled deal.
Amen.
You follow me? That's the essence of faith. And so then we say, okay, Christ has solved this problem for us. Now, how does that solution become ours? How do we get to heaven? And the answer is by trusting Jesus for our salvation and nothing else. Look in Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, the Bible says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified brought into a right relationship with God. Notice what the Bible says there. A man is justified by what?
Faith
without the deeds of the law. By putting your trust in Jesus to be your Savior. That's what the Bible says there. You're justified by what?
Faith
without the deeds of the law. Let's look back at Romans chapter 4 once again. Romans chapter 4. Stay with me. Romans chapter 4 verse 5 once again. But to him that worketh not, but contrast it. To the person who doesn't work, but to the person that believes on Christ that justifies the ungodly, what's it say at the end of the verse again? His what?
Faith
is counted for what? When you put your trust in Jesus, he gives you the righteousness, his righteousness, which enables you to have eternal life, a home up in heaven. Then chapter 5, verse 1. Look what it says. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what?
Faith.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Christian life begins with this issue of faith, taking God at his word, taking God at his word about what he says about us. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Our sin must be punished with death. If we die and pay for our sin, we'll be eternally separated from God for all of eternity. God doesn't want that to happen. We've got to believe him concerning his son. I love you. I sent my son to die on your behalf. He died in your place. He paid your sin debt in full. He was buried and rose again the third day. Your works have nothing to do with you getting to heaven. You get to heaven by the work of Christ.
Amen.
Are you a person of faith? You have to believe that, don't you? You have to believe it. And Christ must be accepted. You must trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to be your way to heaven. And when you do that, you're in the family of God. Galatians 3:26. We'll give you at least one Galatians verse this morning. For y'all the children of God, isn't that a good southern verse? For y'all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You didn't know they're southern in the King James Bible, did you? You learned something new this morning. For ye are all the children of God by what?
Faith
in Christ Jesus. Christian life begins with faith. Once you're saved, you live it out by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It begins with faith. It's lived out by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Stay with me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Christian life begins with faith. It continues with faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, we're to walk by what?
Faith
and not by
sight.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we're to walk by what?
Faith
and not by sight. So we see here that the Bible is teaching us that we're to live out our Christian life the same way we're saved, by faith, taking God at his word. Now, God in his Bible says a lot of things about getting to heaven. But once we're saved, he also says a lot of things about how we're to live our lives. Does he not? If you've taken his word about what it takes to get to heaven, say amen. Now he says, I want you to take my word about what I say about how to live your life. See, that's living by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Now as we live the Christian life, we live it the same way. We live it by, isn't that what it says? We walk by, not by sight, but we walk by faith. So when God tells us something in his word, as Pastor Silas explained last Sunday night in a very good illustration, very powerful way for us to see, God says something, we can respond by obeying it. And when we respond by obeying it, we're walking by
faith
and not by God said it, I'm responding to what he says in faith. Are you with me? Steps of a good man are ordered by the And when we begin to walk according to God's order, we are living our lives by faith. The Christian life begins by faith. The Christian life is lived out by faith. One of these days, the Christian life is going to end in faith. You say, what do you mean the Christian life is going to end in faith? Well, one of these days, unless the Lord comes back soon, some of us are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what?
Evil.
That's a statement of faith, is it not? And why did he say, I'll fear no evil? He says, because the Lord is what?
With
with me. You see, that's faith, believing God's going to be with me. His rod and staff, they what? They comfort me. We're going to rest in that promise. We'll rest in Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to die by faith. I was saved by faith. I'm learning to live by faith. And one day I'm going to die by faith. The Christian life is all an issue of faith. I want to be like Abraham. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's why he never built a house. You know why Abraham always dwelt in tents? Because he realized this isn't home. I'm looking for God's city. And by faith, he sojourned, looking for that city of God. And that's how we're to die. We're to die in faith, believing God. About 3 years ago, a number of us were up at Baptist Hospital, and one of our church members was getting ready to go into the presence of the Lord. And so they'd removed her from life support, and so the doctors and nurses said, just as many of you as want to go back there can go back there. And so there was a group of us back there, maybe eight or so of us, that were back in that in the room, and we decided we'd just sing some hymns. And so we sang some hymns, and we were singing hymns, and the husband said, why don't we sing this particular hymn? It's one of my wife's favorites. It is well with my soul. We sang it this morning. And we were singing that. We came down to the last verse of that hymn. In the last verse of that hymn, it talks about, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. You know, it goes on to talk about the clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The fact that the trump's going to resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And we were singing the last verse of that hymn, and we got to the words in the last verse of that hymn. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. I mean, we just reached it right there. And she drew her last breath. Her faith became sight. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It begins with faith. It's lived out by faith. And one day it's going to end in faith. It's all about faith. All about faith. Now let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Numbers, if you would please. And let's go to Numbers chapter 14. The children of Israel had come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. It was a place of decision. A place of decision. And they lacked the faith that they should have needed to move forward and gain victory from the Lord. Oh, sometimes we get to our Kadesh Barneas and we walk in the same shoes that they walk in. And yet God wants us to learn people to be people that have people of faith that are trusting God and can look to God to give us the victory, if you would please. Here in Numbers chapter 14, if you could subtitle this chapter, you would just say it, a crisis of faith. That's what's going on here. It's a crisis of faith, if you would please. Moses had sent the 12 spies to spy out the land just as God had told him to. Numbers chapter 13, look at it briefly. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake to Moses. Who's speaking to Moses? The Lord. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And the Bible says, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. So God gave Moses instruction to send out 12 spies to spy out the land. Moses is being obedient to God. Those men were true to the mission. Notice, if you would please, down in verse 25, chapter 13. They were true to the mission. They went out, they spied out the land. And the Bible says in verse 25 that they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they spent 40 days out in this land. They were spying it out. They were searching the land out to see what kind of land it was, what kind of fruits were there, and to see if it was a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come back and give a report, if you would please. And so they were true to the mission that God had given them. However, when they came back, 10 of the 12 spies lacked faith to believe God would give them the victory. And so they bring up an evil report to the people. Notice chapter 13, look down in verse 32. Verse 32, it says, and they brought up an evil, what? Report. What kind of report did they bring? An evil report. They were just lacking in faith, if you would please. Instead of seeing the Lord as their God and being able to give them the victory, and regardless of the circumstances, the 10 spies were lacking in faith, if you would please. They could only see the obstacles. They could only see the difficulties that were before them. Notice, if you would, starting in verse 26. And in verse 26, the Bible says, and they went, they came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely, notice it says, it floweth with what? Milk and what? Honey. And this is the fruit of it. So they went out, they brought back the fruit of the land. They said, man, this land is a land that's bountiful. It is flowing with milk and honey. They carried grapes. Remember, they took a big cluster of grapes, and it was so large and so huge, they had to put it on a pole and carry it between two men. You've never seen a cluster of grapes like that. Have you? Have you? I haven't either. You know, I just said you haven't, and I said I haven't, right? We've never seen a cluster of grapes like that, have we? I remember my first time to go to California, and my wife and I were traveling down the road in California, and we came up to all these grapes that they had laying out. They just had them laying out in the field. They were drying them. You know, they would become raisins. I'd never seen so many grapes in all my life. I never saw a cluster like that, though. There might have been a lot of them, but there was no cluster like that. This land was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a bountiful land. It was a blessed of God land, if you would please. So they come and they bring them of the fruits. But then notice verse 28. Verse 28 begins with a word that sometimes we use. Notice it says, never the what? Nevertheless. Okay, Moses, we came to the land. You sent us. It's flowing with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. It's just like you said it was going to be. However, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. You know what the children of Anak were? Giants. There's giants in this land. Moses, it's truly a great land. But look at all these obstacles. Look at these problems. Look at these difficulties. Now Caleb, who happened to be one of the spies that had faith, seeks to steal the people and point them toward the Lord. Notice, if you would please, in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, look what Caleb says. This is a good Caleb. Paying attention, all right? Here's a good guy to follow his example, all right? Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. See his faith? See his trust in God? Hey, we can handle this. We can go up and do this. It's not that we can handle it, but God's with us. God's on our side. We can do this. And he says, we can do that. But notice verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people. Hey, they're what? They're stronger than we are. They're stronger than we are. Look what else they say. Verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that are solid in it, they're men of great what? Stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were in their sight. So we come down to chapter 14, and when we come to chapter 14, we see the voice of the 10 spies prevailing, not the voice of the 2 spies. It's not the voice of faith that's prevailing. It's the voice of unbelief. It's the voice of looking at the obstacles and the difficulties. And you come to chapter 14 and we see that there is a crisis, a huge crisis of faith that's taking place. It is a full-blown crisis. verse 1, you find the whole congregation of the children of Israel lifting up their voice and crying. Notice in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So you've got the whole congregation of the children of Israel acting like a bunch of crybabies. I mean, all night long, unrelenting. Verse 2, the children of Israel embrace a pattern of behavior that had become all too familiar throughout their wilderness wanderings. Notice verse 2, and all the children of Israel, here you go, what's the word?
Murmured.
They murmured. They're complaining. Notice the Bible says they complain against Moses. They complain against who? Aaron. And don't miss it. They're also complaining against God. Look what the Bible says. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. When I read that, in my mind, I just want to ask the question, really? I mean, do you really mean that? You really mean, hey, wish God we had died down in Egypt? No way. But it shows what happens in a person's life when they come to a place of decision and they don't take God at His word. They don't believe God. They don't have faith. When we are in a crisis of faith and we're not willing to trust God, we don't see as we ought to see. We don't take the steps that we ought to take. We retreat, if you would please, in unbelief and even complaint and murmuring. Well, it doesn't stop there. Look down at verse 3. Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Do you get the scene here? They're just saying, hey, listen, we've come out in this wilderness. We're going to die here. We can't go into that land. Don't you understand? The people are strong. Don't you understand? The cities are walled. Don't you understand? There's giants in that land. And we're just going to come out of this wilderness and die. You know what? We just need to head back to Egypt. Do you understand? Do you understand the hypocrisy in that? I mean, it was only a short time earlier that God had delivered them miraculously through the Red Sea. And when God had delivered them miraculously through the Red Sea, in Exodus chapter 15, you know what these people are doing? They're all singing praise to God. The whole congregation. That's what Exodus 15 is about. It's a song of praise that the children of Israel are singing to God for the deliverance that He had brought to them from the children of Israel. A song of praise. Now they're singing the blues. Pun intended. Well, we just need to give up. We need to go back to Egypt. Now, this was serious stuff. In verse 4, they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Moses and Aaron really recognize how serious it was, because you see what action they take in verse 5. In verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Why are they falling on their faces? Because they understand that God's not going to sit by and listen to this complaint from His people and do nothing about it. They are on their faces in prayer before the Lord. And then notice verse 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they began to speak to the company of the children of Israel in verse 7. They began to reason with the children of Israel. Notice in verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. It's like trying to calm them down and say, listen, folks, would you just listen? Would you just listen? We went through this land. It's a great land. It's an exceeding good land. It's the kind of land you want to be in. It's the kind of land you want to live in. This is a wonderful, wonderful land that God has given us. A wonderful land that God has given us. And notice what they go on to say in verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and what? Honey. What are they saying? We've got to trust God. We've got to have faith. If the Lord will delight in us, He'll give us the victory. Now they knew that God was delighting them. Why? Because they knew that God had delivered them out of Egypt to bring them to the promised what? And that land has been promised to the children of Israel, not the Canaanites, the Jebusites, and the Hittites, and all those other ites that were living in the land. There were seven nations living in the land of promise. But none of them was the nation of Israel. To whom had God promised the nation of Israel? The children of Israel. And so Caleb and Joshua are acting on the promises of God. They're just doing what Abraham was. Man of what? Faith. Being fully persuaded that what God said He would do, He's going to do. Hey, listen, let's trust God. Let's believe God. Let's believe the promises of God. Notice in verse 9, they go on in verse 9 and they say, now listen, don't rebel against the Lord. You see that? Well, we need to mark that in our Bibles. Don't do what? Don't rebel against the Lord. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Don't rebel against God. Don't you understand that's the worst thing you can do in your life? Is to rebel against God. Don't you understand that? Now some of you are thinking, did I hear him right? He just said this is the worst thing you can do in your life. It is. Worst thing you can do in your life is rebel against God. You don't want to rebel against God. You want to believe God. You want to be a person of faith. You want to be a person who takes God at His Word. Christian life's all about faith. It begins with faith. It's lived out by faith. We're going to end it with faith. We don't want to fail in that. Don't rebel against the Lord. Notice what He goes on to say. Neither fear ye the people of the what? Don't rebel against God. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And the moment you begin to fear men, you fail to do what God wants you to do. And they're afraid of the people in the land because they're strong. There's giants there. They're living in walled cities. But you know what Caleb and Joshua say in this verse? Look what they go on to say. They say, now listen, these people are bread for us. They're bread for us. Folks, what do with bread? You eat it. You know what they're saying by faith? God wants us to go in that land and eat these giants. He doesn't want us to cower. He doesn't want us to run. He doesn't want us to head back to Egypt. He doesn't want us to get another leader to lead us. He wants us to be people who have faith to believe Him and His promises, will trust God to give us the victory over the giants. He said, they're bread for us. Notice what they said in faith. Their defense is what? Is departed from them. You know, God can take the strongest army on the face of the earth and make them fail. Do you know that? God can take the greatest of obstacles and bring them down. What is He going to do when they finally make it into the promised land with the very first place that they go? It's called Jericho. And the walls came. God's able to do that. If we'll have the faith to believe Him, to trust Him. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. Do you see how they were seeking to rally the children of Israel to have faith in God? Did they listen? No. No. They said, hey, let's stone these guys. All the congregation, verse 10, bade stone them with stones. There are two things going on here with the children of Israel that I point out to you real quickly. I've already mentioned these and alluded to it throughout the message here this morning. But two things that are going on that cause this whole situation to be where it's at. Number one, they got their eyes on their circumstances. They got their eyes on their circumstances. Their eyes on their circumstances. The strength of the people, the fortification of the cities, the giants that were there, and it zapped whatever element of faith they once had right out of them. When we get our eyes on our circumstances, it takes away our faith. And number two, they lacked faith because they got their eyes off the Lord and forgot to remember what God had done for them previously. Their eyes are on their circumstances, they're off the Lord, they forgot what God had already done for them. I mean, if you go back and trace their history, remember Exodus 14, let's go back there real quickly. Exodus chapter 14. When God's bringing them out of the land of Egypt, they're scared half to death. Remember when Pharaoh and the Egyptian army was pursuing after them? They came to Moses and they were afraid and say, Moses, what were we going to do? In Exodus chapter 14, notice, if you would please, in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Don't be afraid of those people. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you. When?
Today.
Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. That's a statement of faith on the part of Moses. Don't be afraid of these people. Just stand still. See the salvation that God's going to bring. And what did God do? He parted the Red Sea, did he not? The children of Israel walked across on dry ground. The Egyptian army thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it. They got into the sea. God took the wheels off the chariots, and then all of a sudden, God closes the sea back up on top of them. And God says to the children of Israel, hey, listen, the army that you've seen today, you'll see them never again. Wow. Did God do that? Amen. He did do that, did he not? They had experienced that with their own eyes. They get out into the wilderness. They run out of food. They have need for food. What does God do? He miraculously provides food for them. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the parting out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation, verse 2, children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Why are they murmuring? They don't have any food to eat. Notice in verse 3, the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat the bread to the full. For you brought us out forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with what? Hunger. And what did God, how did God respond to that? He responded by providing manna. Every day they had food to eat. They came over to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, they ran out of water. They didn't have water to drink. In verse 5, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, verse 6, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it. God gave them a miraculous deliverance through the Red Sea. God gave them a miraculous provision of manna to eat. God gave them a miraculous provision of water to drink. Don't forget God's miraculous provision of guiding them. A cloud to guide them by day and a fire to guide them by. They were never without the guidance of God. They were never without the guidance of God. My friend, we're not without the guidance of God in our lives. And so they came to a place where it called for some faith. Place of decision. And what do? They put their eyes on their circumstances, off their God, and they fell. And for 40 years, they'll wander around in the wilderness while that whole congregation, generation, I should say, die in the wilderness. Now, church, I brought you there this morning on purpose. We'll go back to the book of Galatians, Lord willing, next week. But I brought you there on purpose because I want you to understand that in 2015, we're going to have some Kadesh Barneas. We're going to have some places of decisions the Lord's going to bring us to. And we're going to need to be a church that's full of faith. A church that's full of what?
Faith.
Taking God at His word, believing God's promises, trusting the Lord, if you would please, not looking at the circumstances, not looking at the obstacles, but looking at the God who's able to bring us through no matter what we face. Most of you are aware of the fact that we have space issues around here. We're talking with an architect and in the process of developing a master plan that will give us some guidance about future expansion here at our church. And as we think about that, it's going to be an issue that's going to call for faith on the part of God's people to trust God. We have to seek God and know His mind in His direction, in His leading. But when we seek God and know His mind, His direction, and His leading, I guarantee you, it's going to take faith on our part. And I just want to say here this morning that the God who's brought us to where we're at in 2015 can take us beyond in the years to come. And I just want to remind you here this morning, because many of you were not here to experience the miraculous past of the Lord and what God has done for us as a church in the past that has been miraculous, that has been God's doing. The very property that we sit on was purchased when there were only three or four families coming to our church. And we were able, through those families, with the Lord's help and moving, to be able to put a down payment on this property and began to make monthly payments to pay for the property. That within itself was a miracle, because not all those families had joined the church. They weren't members. You have to understand, this was a from scratch pioneer work. I mean, talk about, you know, beginning with nothing. You want to know how to begin with nothing, just talk to us. We began with the Word of God and the Gospel and a vision and a burden and some promises from God. Amen?
Amen?
And so there was a miracle that took place there. God's provision. When it came time to put up our first building, we were in the midst of a tremendous recession in our nation. I don't know if I ought to say this morning, but we paid 14% interest to be able to put up our first building. That's what it cost. We paid 12% on the land, 14% on the building. That's just the way price was back in those days. And talk about a recession. Builders were going bankrupt. So we had a builder that let us that put up the shell and let us take over from that. He was just glad to be able to stay afloat for a little bit longer. We had a sheetrock guy that finally convinced us to let him hang the sheetrock instead of us doing it ourselves. And he did it just so he could have something to do. Not because he made money from it. And all that was God's miraculous enablement, if you would please, to be able to get into a building. When it came time to go for our next building, next door, we had a mortgage on property and we had a mortgage on a building. And I looked at the church and said, we can't afford three mortgages. We got to pay the mortgage on the land off before we can put another building up. And so we brought it before the Lord and we decided we'd have a special offering. And we owed about $22,000, $23,000. And we were going to ask the Lord to enable us as a church to give a $23,000, $22,000 offering above our tithes to pay off the property. And so we set a date. It was sometime in the month of January. We set a date, several weeks off. I just said to the people, you pray about it and ask the Lord what He can enable you to do. We'll all put it together and trust the Lord that we'll have enough. And not too long after I'd made that announcement and church was all in agreement with it and we all were together, we jumped in this thing together. We decided we're going to walk by faith together. That's a good way to walk. Amen? It gets tough when you're the only person who's willing to walk that way, but when everybody else is willing to jump in with you, that's great. And so shortly after that, I had one of the guys come up to me, and one of the guys in the church, and he said, privately, and he said, Pastor, he says, you can count on my family. He says, we're going to give $5,000. I said, great. That's wonderful. So I rejoiced in that, and that encouraged the pastor's faith. Well, we got $5,000 down. Yeah, Lord's going to provide. And the Saturday before, we were going to take up that offering on the Sunday night. He came over to my house, and I was working on my car out in the garage. That was back in the days when you could still work on cars. And he came in the garage, and, you know, he's just sort of hanging around. And I'm thinking, you know, this guy doesn't just come over to my house and just hang around. And so finally he got around to spitting out what he wanted to say, and he said, Pastor, you know, I told you a couple weeks ago you could count on us for $5,000, right? And I said, yeah, I remember that. I said, that's great. That's wonderful. He said, just wanted to come and let you know we're not going to be able to do that. That's a great way to discourage you, Pastor. But it didn't really discourage me because we'd just been praying and trusting the Lord to provide, that God would supply. It could have, but by that time I'd been praying so much, I just felt like God was going to do a miracle for us. That Sunday night we came and took up that special offering, and the Lord enabled our church to give $24,000. Wow. We paid off that mortgage. Then we went and got another mortgage for that building. And over the years, the Lord's been good to us and enabled us to pay off all of our mortgages. We're a church that's debt-free. We sit this morning on a piece of property and buildings that probably have a value of over $1 million. It's debt-free. I don't know what the Lord's going to have for us in the future. He may want us to sell and move. Some of you have been talking about building expansion. I just want you to understand, God may want us to sell and move. We may be locked in with what we have. We don't have a lot of property. We don't have 3 acres. So we may be locked in. I don't know what the Lord's got for us. But I'm saying on this first Sunday of the new year, let's be people who have faith, who trust the Lord. Next offering we take up, it's not going to be $24,000. It's going to be more like $100,000. And say, Lord, we're going to have to trust you to raise $100,000 or even more. Did I hear you right, Pastor? Did I come to church this morning to hear this? I thought I'm supposed to come to church to hear good news. It is. There's a good news that God is able. Amen. Amen? God is able. I don't know what God's got for us in the future, but I know that we have to meet it in faith. In faith. And I just encourage you on this first Sunday to be people who are people of faith. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there might be someone here this morning that has never put their faith in Jesus to be their Savior. That's the greatest act of faith you'll ever do. Just to take God at His word and say, God, I believe you, what you say about myself. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. My sin deserves to be punished by death. And If I die in my sin, I'll be eternally separated from you. I believe you what you say about your Son being my way to heaven and not my works, but his sacrifice on the cross. God, I've never trusted Jesus and what he did on the cross to be my way to heaven, but here this morning I saw it from the Bible and I'm going to trust you. I'm trusting Jesus to be my Savior. Would you do that here this morning if you never have? Just simply talk to God and say, God, here this morning, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't save myself. I believe your Son Jesus died to save me. I trust him to do that for me this morning. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus to save you, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up, slip it down, not realizing that raising your hand gets you to heaven. It's trusting Jesus. But if you're here this morning saying, I'm going to take God at his word, trust Jesus to be my way to heaven. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up and slip it down? We'll pray for you. Anyone at all? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Is there anyone else this morning by way of uplifting hand would say, here this morning, I'm trusting Jesus to be my way to heaven. I want you to trust me. And church, I just challenge you this morning. I don't know what God has for us in this new year. I don't know all the decisions that are going to come our way. But let's be people who will meet those challenges with faith. Let's just believe God. Let's just trust God. Let's get the mind of God. Let's learn the promises of God. And let's trust our God. Let's don't be like the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be challenged about faith and help us to be people who are of faith. Thank you for this one that said they were putting their faith in Jesus as Savior. We know that when a person does that, you save them and bring them your family, make them your child. Give them a home in heaven, Lord, for all of eternity. I thank you for that. Help us to be people who are willing to trust you, Lord. You've done so much for us in the past, for which we praise you and give you glory and honor. And Lord, they have been miraculous things. And so, Lord, in the future, we're going to need to trust you for miraculous things and believe that you'll do it. And Father, we believe that you will, and we'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.